Want to see something really scary? So do we, as the Unusual Suspects bravely venture into every haunted house, except maybe a haunted house too, that they're presented with, in our own mystery machine, which in our case is usually just my couch. Okay, sure, doesn't have the same appeal as a green and purple van, I guess, but if nothing else, our villains never turn out to be the man who runs the haunted amusement park. Mainly because we'd totally be friends with that dude. Fucking cool. Well, now you folks already got to hear what Brian and I had to say about Oculus. If you caught up on our South by Southwest catch-up podcast where we talked about it, but now the rest of the crew, the probably more with more intelligent things to say than we did because we were so burned out when we saw it.
I think that's really where you want to be when you're watching this movie.
What burned out?
A little burned.
Yeah, I was pretty exhausted. But they are going to talk about Oculus for the highly. Whatever we're called, Unusual Suspects. I am something.
Unusual.
Something just
are
Unusual
still,
Suspects.
Are you still burned out?
I'm just tired. I've been watching movies all day. I am Chris Cox.
JC Dillion.
Bo.
Ashley Marino.
We are talking about the latest film, Oculus 2013, put out through some of the country, but for some reason we're just getting it now. This is the latest from the magical producing world of
Jason Blum,
Blumhouse Productions, who pretty much any horror movie that makes it to a theatrical release these days is there's like a 9 out of 10 chance it's going to say Blumhouse Productions.
Oh, okay. They were the last of all of the clever little production credits that we saw, and there were like 50 of them. One of which was WWE, and I did not. That's just the initials. This is actually World Wrestling Entertainment Films.
Yeah, they're a thing now.
Yeah.
Which one looked like it belonged to Creed?
Yeah, there was one that was, it was like basically Scott Stapp staying, you know, like on a craggy mountaintop as the storm was coming in.
I was just like,
brought to you by Douchebag Productions.
Yeah, the one for Blumhouse is the one that looks like, oh, the movie started.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, it is. And in their grand tradition, it looks like somebody took a shotgun full of horror tropes and just, like, let it off.
Yeah, it's pretty much the end of Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, look, there's a rabid unicorn.
Also, I have to disagree with you on that. I didn't feel nauseous at all. Take that! Burn!
I can't believe you just burned Cabin in the Woods. I feel a little sick myself right now.
Oh, you know what? I wasn't thinking of Cabin in the Woods. I was thinking of Blair Witch Project.
Oh, well, that I can go with.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But fortunately,
Really threw the bird up against the force field for that.
Fortunately, Oculus has very little in comparison with the Blair Witch Project. This film stars, well, let's face it, one of the most awesome women on the planet, Carrie Gillan.
Yay, Karen Gillan.
Karen Gillan, yeah.
Because she, of course, played Amy Pond on the Doctor Who Matt Smith run. But here she plays the sister of a guy named Tim Russell, played by Brenton Thwaites, who's just being let out of a psychiatric institute after years and years in it. Basically, he's come of age, and so they're finally letting him go.
11 years, to be precise.
And they say, okay, you know that all that stuff you think happened with your father and your mother, that none of that was all in your head.
Yes, they treat him like a, you know, psychological hospital trying to make someone sane would treat someone.
Well, exactly. Anybody would. And he's gotten to where, like, they've got to be right. Obviously, the horrible stuff I think I saw didn't happen. To be greeted by his sister when he gets out, goes, you know all that horrible stuff that we saw?
Wait, what? Totally happened.
That totally happened?
And he's just like, wow, this hospital has no vetting process whatsoever. And they're like, well, I guess you should go stay with your crazy sister, you know, who literally blew someone away in front of.
Right. And we know that from the beginning. They tell us that, like, the son killed the father in front of the sister, that the mother died at the father's hands, that we just don't know the details.
We get kind of the background, but not the deep background on it, which is kind of one of the tropes of the movie. It slowly intersperses what happened back then with what is happening now.
Yeah, and they do that on purpose because it switches back and forth and flashbacks a lot.
Are they flashbacks?
Well, that's the interesting technique the movie uses, which is as they're
as they're forced to have their reality screwed with, because the thing they're confronting is an ancient mirror that basically, near as I can tell anyway, the souls of anyone that's died because of its evil are trapped in it and manipulate reality to try and force you to kill yourself or kill other people.
It's a fucking haunted mirror.
It's a really haunted mirror.
Yeah, I mean, it turns every house into the scariest of fun houses.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
And it affects their reality where they're not really sure what is actually happening, what isn't. Are they in their past watching themselves? Are they really there? Are they reliving it again? What's real? What's not? That's really the primary question of this movie. And Karen Gillan's character, Kaylee, is prepared to some degree for this. She set up a whole series of elaborate things, like a ship's anchor that's set up if they don't hit like a timer every once in a while, it's going to just smash the mirror, which I don't know why they don't just smash the mirror.
Yeah, that is never fully explained as to, well, yeah, I mean, the whole idea of this whole thing was just to smash it. And there, you know, her sort of kind of explanation is that I'm going to prove that my brother's not crazy, my dad didn't get crazy, my mom didn't go crazy, nobody's crazy in this family whatsoever, it's evil mirror. That is
when you say it like that.
When you say it like that, it sounds really fucking crazy.
Nobody in this family is crazy, especially the lady who pinned the anchor to the ceiling.
Yeah, and I actually don't think that Apple paid them for a 5-minute movie.
Apple
paid them for a 2-hour movie. So.
They literally
can't break it immediately.
They have a supply of food that is basically just Apple. So yeah, there's some kind of weird marketing plan.
All the equipment is Apple products throughout the entire movie. It's everywhere.
It's like if you want to prove you're being haunted, you should do it with a computer that's stylish looking.
That's actually true. Apple computers have been proven to be more resistant to supernatural forces.
It's true. If you use an IBM, you're not going to see your breath once.
You know, I myself really enjoyed a lot of aspects of this film. I think visually it's very inventive. I think it's trying something. And this is the thing that's hard to even say, but I believe it is true. Genuinely new in the haunted house genre. They found a new way of coming at it.
There's some really, like, you know, fun, interesting stuff in here. And one of the things I really liked about it, and they probably tipped their hand way too early on this, but is you're confronted at first with a, like, hey, you know, the brother who's just got out of the psychological hospital sounds way more sane than Crazy Pants McGhost Hunter over here. Yeah. So,
who has literally robbed her job at auction house to get this mirror.
Right. She's robbed her, not only her job, but her fiancé owns the company. So yeah, it's just like she's putting her whole life on the line right now to prove, like, hey, bad evil shit is in this mirror.
Yeah. My brother did not, you know, do anything wrong. I did not do anything wrong. My parents didn't do anything wrong. The mirror is evil.
And the mirror theme, the mirror theme plays throughout the whole thing. You know, it's the way that a mirror can sometimes distort how you look and, you know, what's really happening. And that whole, you know, that very old horror trope of, you know, two people looking or someone looking at a mirror image of themselves and all of a sudden the mirror image does something that they don't. And you're like, ah! But, you know, it's got a great wind-up, and unfortunately, I think it really only maybe hits it out to halfway to second base here.
I have to agree, only in the sense that I knew how it was going to end about 10 minutes into the movie. I still had a lot of fun, though, on the journey, and I still really liked it. One thing, I totally agree that they do something cool with the haunted house tropes. I really like the mirror thing. One thing I'll also give this film is that bad kid acting would have ruined it. Those kids knocked it out of the park.
They
did a really good job.
The kids are way better than the adults in some way.
I agree.
Nothing against Karen Gillan. Karen Gillan is, you know, she's doing the American thing for the first time. And, you know, I think I was picking out some stuff that I was just like, oh, okay, Scottish girl, I hear that. But the guy in Britton Thwaites, and I don't know, maybe this was an acting choice of someone who's just out of, you know, playing someone who's just out of a psychological hospital. He's, like, got this incredibly flat affect that is, like, you know, the weird shit happens, and he's just like, yeah, that's kind of weird. Like, his eyes get a little big, and that's about it. There's no, like, holy fucksticks coming from him at all. And
he seems much less affected by this is scary as fuck shit that's happening to you, and you're probably doomed, than Karen Gillan, who does seem
to... Yeah, who totally buys into this stuff, but is still, like, you know, she kind of puts up a front of being very, very tough about dealing with this stuff, and she's the one, she's like, I'm going to get this fucking thing, fuck this motherfucker.
Well,
In that way, that's one of the things I really like, because she's not the typical screaming final girl trope at all. In fact, she's the opposite of it, and I almost wish she was more of the protagonist here.
True. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and in his defense, though, he has faced a lot of demons inside. This isn't the first time for him. He's seen it.
He's come back. Yeah, this is like, man, I've been handling all sorts of demons. Yeah, demon in a bottle.
He still does one of those kind of horror tropes that kind of annoys me, where it almost seems like in almost any horror movie, the man takes a lot of convincing to be like, oh yeah, scary shit is happening. He knows, he went to a psychiatric ward because of it. Like, he knows the things he's seeing are scary as shit, but it takes a really long time in the movie for him to buy into it, like Bo just said.
He thinks he's having a breakdown.
Yeah.
When he starts seeing stuff again, brought on by his sister trying to convince him all the stuff they had was real.
And it's not quite as obvious as a lot of horror movies do, where the guy's just being macho and just refusing to buy into what he's seeing. But it does take him a really long time to, like, get with the program.
Now, I do have to criticize this film in one sense. And it's funny, because I talked to a lot of people about this movie, and it seems like half and half whether they agree with me or not on this. So I'm curious to know what you guys think. I felt like one of the major problems with this film was that very early on it becomes clear there's really, it's not, you know, how in the hell could you get out of this? You know, I mean, this is a power that can affect your reality in its entirety. Mm-hmm. What do you do? And most horror films have a very sensible thing where somewhere in the third act, when things seem hopeless, there's a light at the end of the tunnel where you're like, we have a plan and we're going to make it work. And the audience is like, okay, now I'm with the root and see if this can work. Cause sometimes in horror movies it works and sometimes it doesn't. And here I feel like you never get that. It's just kind of like there's never a ray of hope. Things just get darker and more impossible.
It doesn't throw you a lot of rope. That's for sure. And you know, once again, the most troublesome thing about the movie is the fact that, why are you guys doing this? There's a lot of ways to break a mirror. There's just a lot of ways, and this doesn't seem like the best.
They do establish that people have tried repeatedly, even them, to break the mirror, and they couldn't do it. Like, the mirror tricks you into thinking you're smashing it and you're hitting the wall beside it, or you're not even in the room at all, you know? So the mirror is pretty good at that, but it makes you wonder, why did the mirror let her set it up in a room with a giant anchor attached to a timer to smash into it in the first place.
Prove a point. To prove a point. Did you not see Old Dog? Or Old Boy? I messed up my movies left and right today. Old dogs.
Yeah, that's just
all
like
dogs
Old Boy.
Go to heaven.
Will be blood. The mirror wants revenge.
I don't know. I think the answer to that question is that the mirror is just kind of a dick. It's like, really? You guys are going to come back and, okay. I mean, I'm just going to mess with you like I did when you were kids and... Okay, we're gonna do this.
And this is such a Blumhouse production in the sense that, like, they find horror films that they go, this could be a whole series. And he's really good at finding films that have the legs to be a franchise. This film doesn't even, I mean, you really don't know any more about this mirror at the end of the film than you do at the beginning, really. Yeah.
It's a fucked up mirror.
You know it's a fucked up mirror, and you know,
it's a dick.
As much as you see ghosts, or whatever, you're not seeing the ghosts that are like the possessive force in the mirror. You're seeing the souls that have already been killed by the mirror. Mm-hmm. So as to what actually the thing is behind the mirror is never even so much as hinted at in this film.
I think it's just pissed off that nobody's figured out that if they just take a little vinegar and some water and rub it real hard, they could get rid of that film that's on it.
That's all the mirror
wants. That's all it wants.
It's like, nobody's cleaned me in decades.
I'm going to kill all of you.
Haven't all you people heard of Windex? For God's sake.
It's the 21st century now.
Okay, well, you know what? Let's go to final thoughts on this one. JC?
It's kind of weird that we're a gathering of you know, four people who don't think this is like the second coming of horror. Seeing it at South By, amongst a lot of great horror, this was just kind of right in the middle. And even as far as Blumhouse productions that were at South By, this wasn't even the best. It's a really interesting premise. Kind of like The Purge, where it had an interesting premise that could go a lot of other places. Interested to see what else they do with this. They just never quite stick the landing with this one. And I think I would say 5 out of 10 years of bad luck.
Bo?
There's definitely, you know, some point to going to see this. I'd absolutely agree that it's a fresh take on a very tired genre. You know, and I also absolutely agree that they just don't really stick the landing. In fact, at the very end of the movie, I was like, well, this is the ending of every slasher flick in the '80s. You know, I really enjoyed, you know, Karen Gillan's badassness, her moments of that in this. I thought Katie Sackhoff did a really good job.
Who plays the mom?
Who plays the mom? Rory Cochran, who plays the dad. There's definitely some creepy moments. If that's why you go to see your horror movies, is to jump out of your seat, there's plenty of that here. You know, but ultimately, I think it promises a lot more freshness than it delivers. I'm going to give it, I'll give it about 2 out of 5, blood-soaked Windex rags.
Nice. Ashley?
Yeah, I think as far as haunted houses go, it was a really good movie. I liked the way the story unfolded. It didn't feel forced, and I feel like a lot of times I'm like, oh, we're going in the past, we're going in the future. They're just shoving it down your throat, and it flowed really naturally. I liked that. Visually, it was really good. Kids and pets can kill a movie. I thought that they were one of the strongest points in this.
I do agree there, yeah.
And I don't know, I was entertained pretty much the whole time. I think my only complaint is around the third act. Like, I kind of felt like I knew how it was going to end. That is kind of how it ended. And while I think it's fresh for the haunted house kind of genre, it feels a lot like haunted object movies I've seen in the past, like The Ring or something like that, yeah. Where you have this object that is haunted and people are trying to wreck it. Works out, usually it doesn't, that kind of a thing. And as far as those movies go, it didn't feel quite as inspired. However, I do think I liked it a little bit more than maybe you guys did. So I'm going to give it 2.5 out of 5 years of bad luck.
Well, that would be exactly the same rating that JC gave, technically.
Oh, what did you give?
Five out of ten. So.
Oh. Nice. Okay. I'm going to go 2.75 then. just a hair higher.
A little more.
Yeah, I was thinking about what, Bo, I think you gave it a 2 out of 5, right?
Two out of 5. So okay. We just, you know, I think we should try to maintain a high level of confusion for our listening audience.
Yeah, absolutely. And either way, it's a lot of years of bad luck.
It is indeed. For a mirror that never gets broken movie. Well, come on.
Or does it?
Yeah, I didn't stay till after the credits.
I do agree that Oculus is a far better title than The Mirror Not Cracked.
I think I definitely like this a little bit more than you guys did. I did have problems with it. I think that visually it's really smart. I think that it does its scares really well. Even though there are jump scares, they always seem to be the kind of jump scares that really do pay off. And it's clever. I mean, there's a lot of smart stuff in here, but ultimately it kind of, it gets in its own way towards the end, quite frankly. Its technique, they think they're so clever with their technique, they forget to actually finish writing the film is what it felt like to me. I still enjoyed it overall. I enjoyed the performances. I thought especially, like I said, I thought Cary Gillan was great. I thought Katie Sackhoff was so fucking creepy in this movie. Eventually, there's
she's gonna make a great Captain Marvel.
Right? There's a couple scenes in here with her that I was just like, okay, I am having trouble looking at the screen actually. Yeah. Just seeing her like that.
There were a couple of points I just wanted to leap up into the action frames. Damn it, Starbuck, snap out of it.
Yeah, you're an angel, all right. I'm actually gonna give this a 7 out of 10 franchise sequels that'll probably end up being better than the original. Because I do think this is a good franchise series. If they move the mythology along and find a way to sort of ease out the problems that this one had, they could come up with a much better second film set in this universe. But, you know, what are they going to do eventually when it comes time that's like part 9 and they're going, well, we're going to have to put the mirror up against Hellraiser or something now. The mirror from Oculus versus Freddy.
They should get those two exorcists from The Conjuring to have a fist fight with it.
Ooh. Now you're talking.